That we can get the hearing underway. Before we return to hearing from submitters, anything to report from the officers? Right, the first submitter on our list is Peter and Diane Allen. Just want to come up here to the submitters table. Thank you very much. Good morning and welcome. We've read the original submission that you lodged. Thank you for that, and also the evidence that you pre-circulated, and thank you for taking the time to do that. You don't need to read any of that material out to us because we've already read it, but you are very welcome to speak to it and highlight key points for us, and you don't need to stand up unless you really, really want to.
No. This water is okay to drink, is it?
I hope so. It's not from Dunedin or have a lot more.
Well, first of all, good morning, gentlemen, and this is on behalf of my wife, Diane, and I. Bit of a curveball to see on the chart out there that my 7 minutes of going through this is not necessitated at all, but I can request a 1 minute, 2 minute summary to highlight the main points in here.
Absolutely, yeah, you're very welcome to highlight key points for us.
Righto, because I totally understand the fact that if I went through this in its entirety verbatim, then you'd be all falling asleep. So we'll go through that, and then the summary and conclusion of what we're all about. But I think it is important to highlight some of the things in here. So you've already got the facts and read through where we are, where we're farming. There will be some slides shown here very soon, and we'll go through some important ones.
No, sorry.
So basically, we're farming on the west side of the Glenure Hill, as we've outlined,
just a minute,
at an altitude of about 300 metres above sea level. We're all deer, again as highlighted. We started off with 231 hectares. Essentially we're down to below 200 hectares of effective property due to the retiring of land, extensive tree shelter lanes, plantation, riparian fencing, waterways and riparian planting and retiring of the land. Our ethos is to farm sustainably and to the environmental capability, including the climatic conditions and altitude of the land in our area. We've had a very strong environmental awareness right from the start, right from the get-go of our deer farming. And in the past 35 years, we've planted over 30,000 trees from 36 different species and carried out more than 10,000 metres of riparian fencing with 25 separately fenced riparian areas, including more than 20 hectares of retired land, which is quite a bit on 200 effective areas, 200 hectares. We don't consider our farm to be an intensively farmed business. We don't bring an extra stock of feed, and we farm within the constraints of our topography and soils, nor have we any supplementary irrigation, and we don't do any dairy grazing. Our farm includes a 40 hectare area. We've carefully managed the stocking rate of this peat bog over the past 30 plus years for the future and long-term sustainability. We can prove by way of viewing the property that there's been little to no degradation of the area. And I can reference a few of the photos that Diane will be bringing up here. Some of the ones at the start here are actually, this is 30 years ago on our property, and the next photo will show the same position. There we go, the current day. Same property, same place. And the next few photos are the same. That's 30 years ago above our deer yard, and the same photo today. And it just gives you an idea of the change in the whole farming. It's made a heck of a difference to our property, but the property was a myriad of springs and creeks, and we pretty much tackled the lot. We're down to the last 10%, and we've been fully engaged right from the get-go. In 2016, which is only last year, we were involved in conjunction with New Zealand Land Care Trust, and some of you gentlemen may have been subjected to an 8 minute narration by myself of this. Sorry for putting you to sleep, but if you just turn the sound down, you'll get a good picture of that. And it's referenced in there in number 19 of what we submitted to you. Just a couple of key points on the 40 hectare peat bog block. Prior to us purchasing this property in 1982, which also predates the Resource Management Act, the peat bog had been drained From an independent ecological assessment report, the peat bog is being maintained and managed at its 1950s level, which is 67 years ago. One of the key benefits of this peat bog is the natural cover it provides during fawning, as we have a far higher rate of fawn survival rate than the New Zealand deer fawning average, if that all makes sense, because the fawning average in New Zealand is about 70%. But we're attaining 95 to 100% survival because of the natural cover. And Eric, you're a former deer farmer, you'll be able to attest to the survival of natural country. That's just a very brief overview of all the points that we've raised. When I touch on deer as a natural cover and animal welfare factor, they're also really good as far as pest management, and I'll touch on that later on, but they really come to our rescue to rid us of one of the designated pests of Environment South and the blackback gulls, and it's quite an amazing story, really. So some of the conclusions that we can come up with, as far as, I mean, our whole submission is around Rule 70 and stock exclusion. So in this 200-page Bible here of Southland Water and Land Plan, Appendix A, pages 120 and 121, the regionally significant wetlands in Southland, our peat bog is not listed. It's also not listed as a protected wetland, and Gary Morgan informs me that our peat bog is also not listed on the very latest list of proposed protected wetlands, and that's very recent. So with over 25 years of grazing and good management, our peat bog is showing no signs of degradation at all. And we spent over 30 years of being totally environmentally focused on riparian fencing and planting on our own volition, and well before any legislation. We have been in Environment Awards in 2004. We were in the top five finalists, and we were second place. We won the Livestock Awards and the Riparian Planting Awards. So if Rule 70 was enforced on us, then we would be unnecessarily penalised for keeping our peat bog in its natural state when all of our surrounding neighbours have drained and worked up and sown out their peat bogs into grassland. We don't consider our peat bog to be a wetland, it's dry, you can walk across it in normal footwear. Under the current definition of a wetland, our peat bog doesn't actually fit the definition of what constitutes a wetland. So we could hump and hollow and work up our peat bog tomorrow if we wanted to, but we consider our peat bog to be too valuable to us in its natural state, especially in the event of a severe snowstorm, and at our altitude of 320 metres above sea level, that's not uncommon. We had 18 days just in July this year where we had snow on the ground, and the animals that were out there were probably the warmest on the property. So from an animal welfare aspect and fawn survival, it's got huge value to us as well. The red tussocks out there in the last 20 years have thrived with grazing management. They're a little bit like roses. If you prune them and spell them, then you get exponential growth. And the red tussocks are very much like that, as we can attest to the photos that Diane showed you before. And we only graze this peat bog for 6 months in a calendar year with strategic spelling, and it's worked incredibly well. So no mobs of deer are actually shut on the peat area without having access to adjacent paddocks. So one of the summary and conclusions that we have is to allow us to farm environmentally and sustainably without restrictions and continue to manage the stocking and grazing of our deer accordingly. We're open to Environment South and monitoring our peat bog, and if required, the testing of our water both off and on our property. Deer are still the best tool for both weed and pest management. The weed, it's very, very weed free, and heather is an introduced weed, and the deer are keeping that down to a very low level. It's a very clean property. I'm not going to say that they eat ragwort, because they certainly don't, and there's none out there. They won't touch it. But our whole property is ragwort free. They won't eat nodding thistles, but again, there's none out there either. One of the weeds that we actually found out by accident that they do eat is barley grass. There's no barley grass on our property, and that's one weed and heather. So heather and that they will control. I talked about pest management, and just to expand on the pest management, pardon? Just to expand on the pest management, we had a major problem with blackback gull colony, and for 15 years we threw everything at them. And bearing in mind that the blackback gulls are a designated pest and they're firmly in the sights of Environment Southland, we couldn't get rid of them. And to all of our surrounding sheep farming neighbours, 20,000 sheep, they're probably the biggest or worst carriers of Brandenburg salmonella. We couldn't get rid of them. But the first year that we formed mixed-aged hinds out there, they basically deterred the gulls from being there at all and got rid of them. So Mother Nature intervened and come to our rescue, and it was quite amazing. And that surprised Environment Southland as well. So it was a great result. So that's probably using up most of our time, and there should be plenty of questions. So thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Morris, we'll start with you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for your presentation, and your evidence is very clear. The video is very good as well, and the pictures that you've shown certainly tell a good story. So your main concern is with Rule 70, and the Chairman might be able to talk about that as he explained to several others. But the question I have really is about the definition of a wetland. You said in your evidence that you thought you might be able to develop it at the moment, because of the rules, because you don't think it's a wetland. Is that the reason why?
Yeah, it's a peat area. I guess, Morris, the fact is that all of our surrounding neighbours had the same area of land. Mm. And dare I say it, you're probably on the same type of land years ago, and it's all pasture land now. We've chosen in the early stages to maintain that in its natural state because we think it's more valuable like that.
Yeah.
Whereas years ago we could have worked it up, and we probably still can today with resource consent. That might be more of a battle. I take that on board, absolutely. But I think, and there's an open invitation to you five gentlemen collectively or individually to come and view what we've done and how we're managing it. But some of those tussocks are nearly 2 metres high, and it's as clean as anything, and we just think we're managing it well. And like I said, the key word is there's no degradation and there's no signs of deer farming, and we don't hammer it. We don't put stags out there during the roar so they would make a mess. And fawning hinds out there, they're actually quite delicate and just, it's part of our farm.
Yeah. You've done some surveys of the wetland over the years?
Yes.
Of the plants and,
yes,
and that?
Yeah. There was an
environmental report.
Environmental report, independent report, commissioned by Environment Southland just last year.
Oh, no, about 3 years ago.
3 years ago?
Yeah. Okay. All right, no, that's good.
It was very good, actually. It was a good report, very flattering.
Yeah, no, it looks nice.
Edward,
any questions?
Yeah, I think it's very clear what you've presented today. I think I recognise the people. I'm pretty sure we've been past that on the site visit, so we had reasonably close lock from the road at it, and I could see it had been.
It's a fair way off the road.
Well, it's quite a big area, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, but I think we could see it where it had been drained, and you say that was from 1950?
Yes.
Mm. What is there any wildlife in there at all?
There's a lot of harrier hawks that nest out there. But because it's so dry, when I say dry, like it's not a marshland or a wetland, so there's no waterfowl as such, and we've deterred the blackback gulls. Probably the one animal that breeds the most out there are hares. They just thrive out there, unfortunately. But harrier hawks, yes.
Yes, hawks.
And particularly valuable for fauna.
Very, yeah.
Because of the low stocking rate on the peatland, when we do put deer on it, and they're not on there 12 months of the year, how do you determine the tangible benefit by total stock exclusion for us? That's my question to you. What is to be gained by making it exclusive of stock, considering that it's 20% of their property? Can you measure that value? Can it be measured by Environment Southland? Is it going to be appreciable by having total stock exclusion, the gain and improvement of waterway, bearing in mind that we've got riparian planting and sediment traps?
I think before any consideration of restrictions that are imposed on us as deer farmers, Environment Southland need to engage our neighbours downstream from us. You know, none of our neighbouring properties have been engaged downstream from us, and they're basically undoing all of the good work that we've spent in the last 30 years, and they just don't seem to be interested and don't care about it, and that's of huge concern to us. It may not be the forum to bring that up, but I just think it's annoying me anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for your presentation and very good pictures and a good submission. The peat wetland, has it got open drains around it?
Yes, there's an open drain right through the middle of it and one round the side.
How long have they been there?
Oh, hundreds of years.
Yeah. And you, they require maintenance?
Yes, I've dug them out two or three times, drained them, but they're pretty good now because they've got a good bottom on them.
So that's so what they don't keeps require the water table lower in the,
yes,
in the peat land?
Yes, absolutely.
And that and
pretty much down to a gravel bottom on it now.
Yeah, right.
Mm. But it has been. We haven't cleaned it out for what, 20 years?
Mm.
No, and it's good. It's got a good good bottom in it.
Thank you for your presentation. That's
thank you. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, I'm very much the same. Thank you. It's well presented. My only question really is, do you have any water testing data to back up your statements?
We haven't tested lately. We tested a long time ago, but to come up with accurate figures would have to undertake that now, but we're happy to do that.
So Environment Southland hasn't done that with you or on behalf of you?
No, it hasn't been necessitated. I think because they can see what we've... I mean, again, this is a side issue, but when we get a heavy downpour, by far the biggest discoloration into our creeks and onto our property is runoff from the district council gravel roads. I mean, it's ridiculous. You see the turbidity and the discoloration that comes off the gravel roads, and yet coming off our paddocks and that's it's pristine and clean. So that's annoying.
I think that's because we've got an area fenced off that takes the runoff from the road, and that area is always dirty. It's been fenced off for 3-4 years, and it's a pond that we just took out of action. That's why we say those comments.
Thank you for that. No more.
Thank you.
I don't have any further questions for you, but I should just let you know, which has been referred to, Rule 70 is very much a work in progress because central government has put out national regulations on stock exclusion from waterways. Draft regulations were put out earlier in the year, and anyone in New Zealand can make submissions on that. The government is currently now considering what the final form of those regulations will be. We were expecting them to be released last week, but they weren't. We're not sure when those final regulations will be released. But the bottom line is that this regional council and this regional plan can't have any rules in its document that are more lenient than the national regulations.
Mm.
So if central government's national stock exclusion regulations come out and say no stock in wetlands, then we can't do anything about that.
Right.
That's just how it will be.
Mm.
And it'll be like that across the whole of New Zealand.
Because part of that, Rob, says that it's stock exclusion in waterways, and there's also another piece underneath that says stock exclusion in wetlands. We don't have a problem per se with the statement of stock exclusion from waterways because we're 90% of the way there anyway. Okay, of waterways, it's just the wetland bit.
I understand
so it's
that.
An attachment.
I'm just letting you know that we may not, our hands are going to be pretty well tied on this Rule 70 once the government puts out its final regulations.
Mm. I think we all agree there's bigger issues outside the room that could affect all of us.
All right, thanks very much for coming in and taking the time to make the presentation.
Thank you very much.